find it awful hard to be depressed. Some things are heavy, and if you're bearing a heavy thing, I am sympathetic with that. But I do know that after we've been there 10,000 years and we have not really yet begun, that we're going to look back and say, have we been blessed? Have we been blessed? Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life. We're going to spend forever with the Lord, and it's going to be the most dynamic thing you've ever seen. You know how interesting it is to learn something new? Speaking about the veterans, I'll get to the sermon in just a minute. I forgot that this was in my Bible, but while she was singing, I opened up my Bible, and there's an interesting article from February 18th, 1973. Looks a little dog-eared, doesn't it? This is when our prisoners came home from Vietnam, and it tells about how they passed the time, some of them six, seven years over there. And people who knew a foreign language would teach the other guys a foreign language, and they were stimulated. It made it possible for them to make it through the 7 years because they were in a learning process. One guy designed his entire home in his mind so that when he got home, he was able to write the home down, all the plans down. Well, you know, heaven, we won't have to come up with things in heaven because we're going to have the Lord, and we're going to sit at His feet and learn of Him, and we're going to learn how He did the thing. We're going to learn what He did, probably, to keep the British from pouring it on when they were ahead in the Revolutionary War. And learn those things. Things we see in the Bible, but things that it's going to take eternity to learn all the ways that the providence of God worked in our behalf. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to speak on the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 4. And I did have this thought while I was studying this. If you were a prisoner of war and you were a Christian and these were the only 8 verses that you had ever memorized, wouldn't you want to share these 8 verses with your fellow prisoners and talk to them about it? Some of those men did get saved while they were in captivity. Saved people have a constraint to share the gospel when there's duress, when there's trouble. That's why so many men find the Lord when they're in the service, as I did. It's not just because you're under life and death situations. That wasn't the issue with me. But you're in a situation that's different from your normal comfort zone. And you're more open, I think, to truth. Well, if you knew these 8 verses and you were a prisoner of war, it'd be awful hard. If you had them memorized, it'd be awful hard not to share them with your fellow prisoners and say, man, would you like to memorize these words out of God's Word and learn what they mean? What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertained to the flesh hath found? We're just going to pause on it. I'm going to read each verse and pause on it and share some things with you about this. I like that proposition, what Abraham has found. First of all, of course, he's writing to Jewish people, and Abraham was their father after the flesh, and there are just a few things that are interesting to me there. One is that they knew what tribe they were in, and they could trace their lineage all the way back. In fact, Paul, who wrote this, traced his lineage all the way back to Benjamin, who was one of the children of Jacob of the 12 original tribes. He was a Benjamite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. We can't trace, and probably can trace on her maternal side, can probably trace back to the Woodworths back in the 1600s when they first came over here. There was a Walter Woodworth, and that she could trace back there. And what they're doing now is they dug up Walter Woodworth. I can't believe they did this, but they do DNA now to see if you can verify that you are indeed a relative of this old American patriarch. Well, the Jews knew their lineage all the way back. How could they do that? They didn't have Google and they didn't have data processing. How could they do that? It was important in the providence of God that this lineage be kept and known, and they knew it up until 70 AD. It was kept religiously. So people knew their lineage. And they were proud of their lineage, and the apostle here is writing to those that were offsprings of Abraham, for all the Jews consider themselves offspring of Abraham, his father Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Jacob. And he says, Abraham is your father after the flesh. Wouldn't you be interested in finding out what he found out? This is a provocative question. What did he find out? I'd hasten to tell you there was no Bible then when he found it out. Bible, first books in the Bible were probably written by Moses. Something Job might have been written before that. I don't know, but I know that it was 500 years later when Moses wrote the Pentateuch. So the Bible wasn't there, but what did Abraham find out? This is following the third chapter of the book of Romans, which says that we are saved by grace. This is the theme of the third chapter of Romans. We're saved by grace. The free, unmerited favor of God to do you good though you don't deserve it. So he says, what did Abraham find out? And why is he talking to Jews about this? Because the Jews had an intrinsic problem. You know, most of us do. If you're from the Midwest, you've got an intrinsic problem. From the Northeast, you've got an intrinsic problem. I hate to say it, but if you're from the South, you've got an intrinsic problem. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know what it is, but it's a problem. There's a problem being raised in the South. There's a problem being raised in the Midwest. There's a problem being raised in the Northeast. I don't know what it is, but there was a problem being raised Jewish. One of those was that they prided themselves, since the law came from the Jews, that they were keepers of the law, and they were too proud of how good they had done on keeping the law, when in truth they had all broken the law. This was their big problem. This was their intrinsic problem. The Pharisees had that problem. The whole Sanhedrin had that problem, and the Jewish people had that problem, and the rich young ruler had that problem. And frankly, most of Americans have that problem in one way or another. We're too proud of what we have done good, and we minimize what we have done bad and don't realize that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags compared to the fact that we have broken the commandment of the Lord. So he said, what did Abraham find? You Jewish people need to know. You Jewish people especially need to know that. Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, Abraham's in heaven. If he got to heaven by works, he hath whereof to glory. He can be proud like the rest of you are about what he's done. But the rest of that verse says, but not before God. If you're proud today and you're gathered here, I don't care if you're 8 years old or 18 or 78 years old. If you're proud of what you have done good, you've probably got a problem. Especially if you're counting on that to get you to heaven. You remember the last portion of Matthew 25 and other places where people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, we have done many wonderful things in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You cannot glory before God in your works. You say, I'm in the sixth grade and I did all my homework. I don't care if you're in the sixth grade and did all your homework. That's not good enough to get you to heaven. If you die tomorrow, you'd best not go to the Lord and say, I kept up my homework. I never got a referral and I'm in the seventh grade. I'm an advanced such and such and I'm in the tenth grade or the ninth grade. Don't count on that. You might glory before men. That's a mistake. But we do tend to glory before men. If I could sing like Joy sang, of course, maybe not in soprano. But if I could sing like Joy sang, it would be hard for me not to glory some in it. You know what I mean? But he says here, Abraham, if he got what he got by works, he might glory, implied before men, but not before God. But not before God. Verse 3. For what saith the Scriptures? Let's go and see what the Lord Himself has said. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I love the fact that at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 3:15, the Lord, when He first starts talking to mankind, tells them about the salvation that's going to come. That there's going to be a seed that comes. And He said the same thing to Abraham. He said, there's going to be a seed that comes that's going to bless all the people of the world. And Eve said, when her first child was born, I got that man. Well, it wasn't that man, obviously. Cain was not that man. And it says in Galatians of what He said to Abraham, way back in both Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, that God said, in Galatians 3 it says, that God said, seed, not seeds, that He might be clearly speaking of Jesus Christ. And here it says, Abraham believed this promise that God gave him. There was no Bible. How did he know? Well, here's one of the things that God said to Abraham. Genesis 15:1. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What was Joy singing about? The exceeding great reward. Heaven. 10,000 years. There's no night there. There's no tears there. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Spoken directly to Abraham so that Abraham knew this. And it says in Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. First of all, Abraham believed that God was. That wouldn't save him. It says even the devils believe in God. But he believed that God would reward him exceedingly great. In other words, he believed that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He trusted in the promise of a coming Messiah. And in so trusting, it was as if Jesus had already died for him. Sometimes I believe I'm already in heaven. I'm not. But it's almost as if, Brother Pat, you've had that thought before, I'm sure. You know, when we get older, we get some, sometimes the doctor calls us in and he has some sort of serious things to say. And you know, this is not fun and games. This is real. But as redeemed of the Lord, we think, so be it. So be it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Abraham believed God. And what does it say? It, his faith, was counted to him for righteousness. This is an important concept in America. We're a capitalist nation. I love capitalism. I believe it's biblical. I believe that the laborer is worthy of the hire. In other words, he should be paid. Let's read the next verse and you'll see how this bears in. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of death. There's some math involved here. We understand this. If you hire me and I work for you and you say, Mr. Hawkins or Bill, $10 an hour for 40 hours a week. And I say, deal, and he says, deal. And he says, we'll be here at 8 o'clock Monday morning. And you'll work all 5 days. And you work from 8 to 5, but you'll have an hour off for lunch. We don't pay you for lunch. And we pay you every week, and you'll get your first paycheck the first week. Unlike a lot of companies where you have to wait to the second week you've worked there to get the back week pay, we're going to pay you on the first week, so I work. And Friday at the end of the day, I go by the receptionist, who's also the office manager, who's also the CFO, who's also the payroll clerk. And she says, here. And I look at my paycheck. And in a perfect world, it would say $400. It'll probably say $320. Because they'll have FICA coming out and estimated federal taxes and a few things like that come out. But I get what I earn, And I don't go in and say, wow, to the boss, you have really blessed me. He owed me that money. When he shook my hand, he owed me that money. That was a debt. He actually had a debt to me when I was walking out that Friday afternoon. He had a debt to me. And the Apostle Paul, in an inspiration of God, wants us to understand this concept. You work for what is owed you, and when what is owed you is paid you, a debt has been settled, and now you have got what you deserved. I deserved, if I worked for the 40 hours, I deserved the $400, and I got it. Now, the apostle argues here, or reasons with you here, and he says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And our theme is, we're saved by grace. You can't see salvation in terms of your works, or you miss the point of salvation by grace. When those people, when the Lord says, why should I let you into heaven? And they say, we have done many wonderful works. They're claiming debt. They're claiming that God has a debt he's got to pay. I want to suggest to everyone here, sixth grades, seventh grades, ninth grades, and older, don't even let it cross your mind that you deserve to go to heaven. God does not owe you heaven. You owe God everything because you owe your existence to God. You owe your survival to God. You owe every gift that you have to God. You owe every blessing you have received to God. You owe every meal you've had to God. Jesus himself says, give us this day our daily bread. You may not realize it, but it's true. Every breath of air you take, you owe to God. Every good and perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, James writes. Now he that worketh, this reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So what did Abraham find? One of the things he found was, you don't get there by works. And it's a good thing because Abraham did a few things after he was saved that he was not very proud of. For one thing, he didn't fully believe that he and Sarah would have a child, and when Sarah gave him his handmaiden, he went in onto her and had a child of Sarah with the handmaiden by the name of Ishmael, and we all have some gray hair because of Ishmael. You ran into some of Ishmael's. When you were over in Iraq, you ran into some of Ishmael's offspring. Where do you think Al-Qaeda comes from? Where do you think the Taliban comes from? Many of those people. Where do you think they come from? That's Ishmael. Now, we aren't going to be prejudiced against everybody who's got a Semitic background that isn't Jewish. But the truth of the matter is, Abraham did some things after righteousness was counted to him that he wasn't very pleased with. So one of the other things that he found was that God's grace is sufficient to forgive us from past sins and from future sins, so that we say to you, if you're saved, once you're saved, you're always saved because it's based on God's grace, not on your ability to keep the faith. And this is one of the great blessings of grace. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, that is, he doesn't work for salvation. It's in the context of for salvation, for going to heaven. But for him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. What a mouthful that is. That would be a good title for this sermon. He who justifies the ungodly. Those who stand before the Lord and say, I did all my homework in the sixth grade. You're trying to tell God that you're godly. And you're not. It says over in Romans 3, 22 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 23, I believe it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all ungodly. He redeems the ungodly, but who does he redeem? Those that believe. What do they believe? They have to believe that I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. They have to believe the promise of the seed that Jesus would come and be our kinsman and our redeemer, and that he would die for our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. That instead of standing before God naked with all of our sins written on the board in front of us, I would hate to see a moving picture of my life. In fact, I would say stop the projector. If they started with me being born to my mother back in 1941, same year, I just found out Pat was born 1 week before you were. He's older than the three of us. We're all 1941 guys. And about 4 months, we got four 1941. Anybody else here born 1941? Four of us. If they started a film and showed you and said, here it is, April 23rd, 1993. Right? You don't want them to keep showing that film. You say, I don't mind them seeing me spit up when I was 6 months old, but there's stuff coming I don't want anybody to see. Right? Wouldn't you have to say that? Wouldn't you want to say, stop the film. Please, stop the film. There's stuff I don't want you to see starting pretty soon after I spit up at 6 months. I don't want you to see the film. If you don't want to see your fellow, have your fellow man or woman see your film, do you want God to see it? Well, God's already seen it. You want to stand before God naked and have Him review the sins that you have had? Because the truth of the matter is, in that great judgment, the sins of those who have not been declared righteous are going to be exposed and justly punished, so that everyone will say that God is a just God. If you're here today and you haven't had your sins forgiven, you need to find out what Abraham found out. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You believe that Jesus paid for your sins, and you believe that you will be clothed in his righteousness, that he will be your lawyer, your advocate. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and he's your mediator. And when God sees you, he'll see the righteousness of Christ instead of you. I want that. I would like to see that happen. The film. And at 6 weeks I spit up. And then, because God knows that I'm going to believe, just say by then, because God covers all of our sins, past and present. From then on, the film shows Jesus Christ, and you get to watch Him. And He heals the blind, and He raises the dead, and He's kind to the children, and they get crawl up in His lap, and He says, suffer the little children to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And you see Him preaching, and you see people saved by the grace of God, and you see Him doing wondrous things, and you see Him, all of His righteousness. But it says down there, this is the life of, and your name is on there. Look what it says. Verse 6. We're going to conclude when we get to verse 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You get to have Jesus' righteousness in your account instead of your own works. I'd take that any day. I'd take that any day. You ever been misunderstood for being somebody great? There was a guy around Greenville that used to, I say great with a small G, but he had a white beard and white hair, and he'd walk around. I saw him one time at the mall, and people came up to him and says, hi, Kenny! They thought he was Kenny Rogers. And it was obvious that he had to tell people, no, I'm not Kenny Rogers. I don't know why he didn't shave his beard. I think he enjoyed it. You see what I'm saying? Well, listen. Think for a minute. We can be you if you're lost. If you aren't saved, you can be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You can live like Him on this earth, but that's nothing compared to being judged by His standard and with His righteousness counted to your account. So when it has your name down there, and when Jesus looks at your name, He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in Christ, that's what salvation is. I'd like to say that Abraham never would have found this out just sitting down, sitting on a rock someplace, like the thinker. He never would have come up with this because, you know, this salvation is so unique and so past human understanding, nobody ever would have come up with it. All the other religions of the world, they got all kinds of crazy ways to get to heaven. This way is so special. Abraham found it out, and those that followed after him that were believers found it out. And it, when Jesus came, He fulfilled what they understood about it. And He died on the cross for our sins and paid the penalty for our sins so that we could be clothed in His righteousness. And blessed, it says here, blessed is the man who God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Just cover them. That film now, that movie of your life, that picture of your life, those things, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are under the blood. He forgives you of your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness and gives you a new life. And you say, well, since I've been saved, I wouldn't want all that up there either. Not to worry. It's not a license to sin. The fact that you feel bad about what you've done since you were saved in that way and you feel like you let your Savior down is indicative of your salvation. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments that are not grievous. And what's grievous is when we break His commandments. And now, we can stand in the judgment. And it might shrink back for just a minute until you remember, wait a minute. I found what Abraham found. Not only is righteousness imputed to me, but let's read verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or will not count sin. Impute is the idea of accounting. It's like accounting. It's counted. You know, when you do your net worth, you say assets over here and you say liabilities over here. And believe me, those liabilities over there, they are real. I owe Wachovia, you'll say, if that happens to be your mortgage company or Evergreen or whatever your mortgage company might be, Countrywide. I owe Countrywide $117,387.50. Plus any late fees if I delay paying. In other words, the meter's running. It's accounted against you. And you got to deal with it. God has agreed that if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do this you're going to have a broken heart about your sin. You're going to have to repent of your sin. If you'll repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died for you and that you need Him. See, it takes repentance to realize you need Him. You don't want that film to show. It's going to show. It's going to be dead accurate too. Some of the angles you won't like. You know what I mean? You won't like some of the angles of that film. When you have to pay for all your ungodly deeds done in an ungodly way against such a gracious and merciful God. No wonder hell is so hot and lasts for eternity. Because you will have walked away from what Abraham found. That salvation is by grace. And God forgives those that have a repentant heart. He gives eternal life to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does this marvelous work for us. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your great kindness to us. We thank you for your great mercy. This is the most complicated message in the whole world. And yet, Lord, we confess that when we take and put our arms around it and we start to see it and we believe it, it becomes the most simple message in all the world. We are lost without you. We are ungodly, and we fall short of your glory in all of our sins. And yet you have made a way that man could never think up on his own, a way to get to you, and a way to be forgiven, a way to have everlasting life, a way to have the righteousness of Christ clothe us at the judgment seat, and a way to have our sins no longer counted against us. Lord, we thank you for such a gracious salvation. It is by grace and not by works. We confess that to be true. We praise your name for it. We celebrate our being children of the Most High God. Lord, help us to urge our friends and our neighbors and our relatives who are lost. Help us to urge them with great fervor and concern that they find this great salvation that Abraham found now 4,000 years ago. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Larry's going to come and lead us in just maybe one verse, possibly two, of a closing hymn. Give you a simple invitation. If you've believed in the Lord but haven't taken your place with the Lord's people, that means you need to join the church of the Lord by being baptized into that church and into the Lord's work. You come and say, I want to take my place with God's people, and at an appropriate time we'll make provision for you to be baptized according to the biblical pattern. If you're lost and you're troubled about your salvation, just come and say, pray for me. You don't have to say any more than that. I'll know what you mean. Pray for me will mean to me that you're concerned about your salvation, and we'll agree to pray for you, and we'll take the time to show you the way of salvation. Then if you're here and you're a member of another church and you'd like to join with this, it's a humble body of people. We're small. But we have a mighty work to do, a great work to do. God help us to do that work, and we need laborers in the harvest. You come and let us know. We'd like to join with this congregation. You come if you know that you should. On any of those three counts as we sing. Brother Larry, what hymn do you want us to sing? 488. Let's turn there and we'll stand together as Mary plays the prelude, and then we'll sing. You come on the first notes if you know that you should.